This is session number 8 of the Gospel according to John. We've come to John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. I want us to just take a little bit of a look, a closer and more in-depth look at who the Word is, so that we can gain a greater appreciation for the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. I think a lot of times we don't really appreciate who Jesus is. We don't really appreciate what he's accomplished. And so the Apostle John brings this understanding of Jesus, not just as the Son of God who came to earth in time, and not just as the Son of Man who will reign with a never-ending kingdom, not just as the Savior of the world who would die to take away our sins, but he takes us back to his eternal name and person, which is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. We've talked about this, but I want to go a little deeper into this so we can appreciate who the Word is and how amazing it is that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and that John and those apostles could behold his glory, that they could actually, like he says in 1 John chapter 1, that they handled him, they saw him, they touched him, they heard him, the Word of life. So I just want to consider some things. There's no coincidences in the Bible, and there's no coincidences to the words that God uses. So when God reveals that the eternal name of Jesus Christ is the Word, he's trying to teach us something. He's trying to tell us something. So let me try to explain. Let's look at the word word. If we talk about a word, I know we might get tongue-tied here, but if we talk about a word and what a word implies, if I say word, what kind of things come to mind? What kind of understanding can we get from the word word? Because that's his name. He's the Word. That's significant. Good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. This is an important name. It's called the Word. Let me give you a couple thoughts on the word word. The first thing I would say is that a word is something that has a particular meaning. It carries with it definition. It's something that's clearly defined and has a certain meaning, a word. Now, he's the Word of God. He's the Word. Guess what? He, the Word, is going to help define who God is. That's what the Word is going to do. That's what the Word's function is. He's going to help us define the meaning of God. And the Word was ultimately destined to be made flesh, so that the Word made flesh is also going to actually help us reestablish the definition of what man is supposed to be. See, a word is meaning and definition. See, you can't really even have the proper meaning unless you have the proper definition. The proper definition gives the proper meaning. How can we know what a man is supposed to be if we don't know the definition of a man? How can we even know who God is if we don't have God defined for us? And so he sends the Word. The Word was made flesh to define who God is, so we can know God and define what man is supposed to be, so that we, by his grace, can become what we were made to be. A word is meaning and definition. A word is also used to express thoughts. So you can have thoughts, but those thoughts are expressed in words. It's the expression of thoughts. You see, who is the Word? In Hebrews chapter 1, it says he's the express image of God. The express image of God. Later in this passage, John's going to say the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. See, bosom is heart, the heart of the Father. See, in your heart is where your inner thoughts dwell, which you really think. And when you speak, when you speak words, it's expressing the thoughts of your heart. The Word came to express for us what God really thinks, what God's real heart is, who God really is. That's the Word. And the Word was made flesh. Actually, in flesh, walking around, they could see and behold the expression of the Father's heart, the expression of who He is. That's what a word does. It expresses thoughts. A word is also energy and power. If you think about it, a word is not a physical thing in and of itself. A word, you can't hold a word. A word's a spiritual thing. It's energy. It releases energy, words. That's why before sports games, you get coaches that they don't go around and punch their players. They don't go around and kick their players, but they preach to their players to get them pumped up, to get this energy and this excitement to go and make something happen. A word is energy. It's power. In fact, the scripture says where the word of a king is, there is power. So he's the Word. What is he? He is the power of God. He's the energy and power of God. The power, in fact, the scripture says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. See, it's one thing to just think something in the heart, but when you actually speak the word, it becomes the power of life or the power of death. There's things that God considers in his heart. There's things that God considers in heaven. But when the word is sent, when the word comes forth, the thing is declared. And it's gonna happen. And you think again, the power of life and death, the word in him was life, but not just the power of life, but he also had the power of death. That's why the word made flesh could walk up to a fig tree and curse it and say, you'll never bring forth fruit from this day forever. And the next day the tree was withered. That's why the word could say, thou Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be brought down to hell. And Capernaum was destroyed. And that's why the word went to the cross. Because it wasn't just the power of life that dwelt in him, but it was also the power of death. And that through the power of his death, we could be broken free from the power of death that the devil held over us. Amen. Because he didn't just have the power of death, but he had the power of life. He said, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Why, he's the Word. Power. Power. The Word. It also implies law. When a king gives his word on something, that's law. It's absolute. He says, that's my word. That's it. Don't break it. You can't break it. Don't go against it. You can't go against it. If you try to go against it, it will crush you. It will destroy you. The word is law. And you know who Jesus Christ is? He's the word of God. He is the law of God. And the word was made flesh. The law of God was made flesh. The law, the pure law. That's why Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill. And that's why he said, if you fall on him, he's the stone. Remember, the law was written in stones. He's the chief cornerstone. If you fall on that stone, you'll be broken. Oh, you better believe it. It will hurt to fall on Jesus. But he'll fix you. He'll build you back up. You'll be broken, but he'll repair you. And you'll actually be better than you were before you were broken. But man, if you oppose the word, if you oppose him, says that stone will fall on you and it will grind you to powder. See, it's better to be broken because he can fix you back up. But if he grinds you to powder, it's done. It's law. It's absolute. The word is absolute. The word also implies promise. If I give someone my word, if I say, I'm going to do this thing, I promise you, I give you my word. See, it's a promise. See, Jesus, the Word, He was the promise of God. Paul said, all the promises of God are in him, in Christ, yea and amen. Every promise that was found in those scriptures of every wonderful thing that would ever be accomplished, the salvation of man, the resurrection of the dead, the eternal kingdom of God being brought in, the destruction of the wicked, and the exaltation of the righteous and the humble, the meek being able to inherit the earth, and the wickedness finally being put away, all these promises, they're all contained in the Word. He is the promises of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us so we could lay hold on these promises. Not that it would just be something that remained in heaven, but something that came down. We could have the hope of these promises. The word also implies news and tidings. You say, what's the word? See, you're waiting to hear. What's the word? What's the latest word? It's news. It's tidings. And the Word was made flesh because He is the good news. He's the good news of God. He is the gospel of God. He is the good tidings. He came both to declare them and to be them, to actually live it and accomplish it. So that when we look to Jesus, we're seeing the hope of the gospel. We're seeing the good news of God. We're seeing that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We're seeing that although we deserve condemnation, He didn't come to bring condemnation. He came to bring salvation. He came to bring good tidings to the meek and to preach the gospel to the poor. The Word was made flesh. The good news of God came. He came, He brought these tidings. Word also implies covenant. Covenant. It's kind of like promise, but a little different than a promise. They can be the same, but they can also be different. See, if I give you my word on something that will happen in the future, I'm going to do this. I give you my word. That's like a promise. I'm making a promise. I'm giving you my word. God gave His word on things that will happen in the future. Amen? It's one of the ways we know that the events of Revelation will occur because He already gave His word. Those promises will come true. He will save us from wrath. We're not appointed to wrath. We're appointed to salvation. We have these promises. He is the promise. He already sent them. But word also can be a binding covenant that begins right now. See, when you go to the altar, you give your word to that person on the other side, whether it be your husband or your wife. You give your word to them. That word, that binding covenant of I'll be there, better, worse, sickness, health, till death do us part. See, that's not just a promise of the future, although the future is entailed in it, but it's a binding covenant that it begins right now. From this day forward, you have my word. The Word, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. See, there's this amazing covenant, this binding covenant that cannot be broken between the Father and the Word. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Father save the Son, and no man knoweth the Son save the Father. See, this binding union of perfect union and perfect harmony that will never be broken and can never end. From eternity past to eternity future, the Word is with the Father, and the Father is with the Word. And the Word was made flesh so that we as flesh could have this word of this covenant. Jesus didn't just come to end the old and to break the bonds and to take the penalties, but He came so that from that day forward, we could enter a new and better covenant. We this binding covenant between God and man, where we could become one with God. That was Jesus' prayer, that we would become one the same way they were one. The Word is a binding covenant from this day forward. And there's no till death do us part because he died once and he lives forever. The word also can imply assurance. Assurance. You know, if there's a situation going on where there's turmoil or there's uncertainty or there's a skirmish or there's maybe some people that don't get along and they're getting in a meeting and they're talking and you don't know what the outcome's going to be, or maybe even something worse, like there's actually a battle and there's war going on and people's hearts can be filled with fear and turmoil and confusion. And you're waiting to hear word, word. See, it's not just the tidings, but you're hoping for that good word in due season. You're waiting to hear word. What happened in the battlefield? What happened in the meeting? What happened in the interview? What happened outside? You know, I saw you guys. You're waiting for assurance. And when you get that word, how it can bring this assurance and peace and settledness to your heart. He's the Word. He is our assurance. And he was made flesh so that we could have assurance in the flesh, that we could assure our hearts before him, because it was something we could never do. Man could never assure his heart before God. There was still this fear and trembling of the Almighty Holy God who might turn against me, and he would have every right to turn against me because of my sins and because of my transgressions. And the best we could do is just repent and just hope and hope that God, please, please, God, don't count it against me. I know I deserve it, but please have mercy. Have mercy, Lord. Change me so I can try to have mercy on others. Lord, I want to be like it. Please, please, please. But there was still that fear and that uncertainty. And that's why the devil could hold people under this bondage of this fear of death. Because we understood our sin and our iniquity in the presence of his law, we could understand these things. And there was this lack of assurance. But now, the word is made flesh, dwelt among us to bring us assurance that we can have the same peace that he had. We can have the same love of the Father that he had dwelling in our hearts, that the same Father that dwelt in him would dwell in us, and that the same Spirit that dwelt in him would dwell in us. The Word is our assurance. It's assurance. The war is done. The battle's over. It's finished. The victory's been accomplished. That's a word right there. And it goes right into the next thing. Another thing that word implies is it implies the end of an argument, the end of a discussion, the last word. Who's going to get the last word? Right? You hear that? There's a debate. Who gets the last word? See, the last word, that's the end. It's the end of the discussion, end of the argument. It's finished. Guess what? Christ, he finished it. It's finished. End of argument. End of discussion. He's the last word. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. When the Father sent the word to this earth to be made flesh, he's saying, this is it. This is it. I'm done. I have nothing else to say. I have nothing else to do. Argument finished. The devil's mouth is shut. Can't say anything. He sent the word, the last word. Now I know the last word will come back again, and there's some cleaning up to do. But in the sense of the salvation work of man, of being able to redeem flesh and save flesh and give peace to flesh and give hope to man and give redemption to man and all these things, he sent his word. He said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. In Hebrews, it says that back in the old days, sundry times, God spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. But he says, but in these last days, he's spoken unto us by his son. It's the end of the discussion. It's the end of the argument. It's done. You see, it's not like the Father and the Word were like, oh no, we forgot to say something. You know, the Father's like, Jesus, we forgot to do this, you know. We left this part out of salvation. Man, Muhammad, You know, I better call this guy Muhammad. Muhammad, listen, there's some things I forgot to say. There's some things I forgot to finish. Muhammad, you better add another book. You know, I messed some things up. Please, Muhammad, straighten it out. No, the word was sent. The argument's finished. The case is closed. He wasn't like, oh no, Jesus, we forgot. That testament in your blood isn't enough. Joseph Smith. Hey, Joe Smith, 1800s. Joe, man, I forgot some things. We need another testament. I'm sorry. Please, can you finish what Jesus didn't finish? No. There's nothing you're going to add to Jesus Christ's work. There's nothing you're going to add to his salvation. There's nothing you can add. He's the last word. End of discussion. And this word, we're talking about word. The last thing I think that it implies, the word, is it can imply the final judgment. It goes right along what I'm talking about end of argument. But in this case, it's a little different. See, you can have two parties that are equal and they're having an argument, debate, and who's going to get the last word. You know, that's the end of the argument. Okay. But when it comes to a higher authority, like you go before the judge and there's deliberation and there's presenting of evidence and there's all these things, but eventually at the end, the judge gets the last word. That's the final judgment. It's done. It's case closed. It's not just argument finished. It's case closed. This thing is sealed. It's official and it's done and nobody can override it. And that's exactly who Jesus Christ is. He's the Word and he was made flesh so that God's righteousness, God's judgment, God's truth, God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, all the things that mankind accuses God of not living up to or not being. You know, they say, if God's so loving, then how come this? If God's so merciful, then how come this? All these things that man tries to throw at God. God sent all of those things in his word. And it's the last word of the great judge of heaven and earth. God is called the judge of all. And the judge has given his word. And it's final. And it's case closed. You know, this is important for us to understand because man is so foolish to think he can judge God. It's like a 12-year-old trying to tell a 55-year-old man who's a CEO, an entrepreneur, a man who owns a multi-million-dollar corporation, oversees tons of people, tons of employees, has to deal with all kinds of tax issues and litigation issues and has to deal with all kinds of government regulations and rules. And this man is running a successful corporation and overseeing 12 different plants and 5 different offices. And the 12-year-old's trying to say, well, I don't think that was nice how you fired that guy. You don't think you really treated him fairly. You know, when man tries to stand in judgment of God and think that he could do a better job or that man's judgment is better, or God, I don't think that that was very, you know, if God's so loving, if God's so good, why would he do this? Don't try to judge God. God's overseeing not only just an entire universe and all the things going on in it, but he's overseeing an entire kingdom that's outside of this universe. He's dealing with a spiritual realm and a physical realm. Please don't think that you're wiser and smarter than God. God revealed himself. God declared himself. He said, I'm merciful. I'm gracious. I'm long-suffering. I'm good. I'm of tender mercy. I'm not willing that any should perish. I'm long-suffering in grace. And so before you try to judge God, looking at God, why don't you look at the word that he sent? And then tell me the fault that you find with God. When you examine Jesus Christ, the man Jesus, the word made flesh, the final word sent by the great judge of all, examine that word and tell me what fault you find with the living God. That's why whatever you do with Jesus, it's finished based on that. It's finished. He's the last word sent by the great judge. Case closed. If you reject that word and you resist that word, and you say, I don't agree with that word, and I don't think it's good enough, and I think this way's better, and I think my way's better, or my religion, or my culture, or whatever. That's why there's no hope. Man, you reject the Son, you've rejected the Father, you've rejected the last word. Case closed. Damnation is sure. Damnation is absolute. There's no place for any grace. There is no grace. You've rejected the last word. But on the contrary, on the flip side, if you look at that last word sent by the Father, sent by the great judge of all, and you go, man, I agree with that word. That word's perfect. That judgment is perfect. That grace is perfect. That righteousness is perfect. That truth is right on. Man, I'm behind that word. I agree with that word. I believe that word. I receive that word. Then guess what? Case closed. Case closed. It's finished. Your fate is sealed. You're in Jesus Christ. Amen. And His righteousness is your righteousness. And His grace becomes your grace. And His truth becomes your truth. And His life, the life that was in the Word, becomes your life. Amen. It's case closed. You've agreed with the Word of the great judge of all. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. What a powerful truth that God, the living God, would send His word so that we could have the definition and meaning of who the true God is and also of what man's supposed to be. That we could have the law of God, absolute. We could have the promise of God, lay hold on it. We could know the express thoughts of His heart. We could have the power and energy and spirit of God. We could have the good news and tidings. We could have this assurance and this covenant, this everlasting covenant that's from here on forever. And that we could have the one that ends the argument and stops all mouths, and the one that is the final judgment of God. Amen. Jesus Christ, He didn't come into the world to judge the world. He said, I came not to judge the world, but to save it. But the truth is, He says, for judgment, I'm coming to this world. He was sent as the last judgment. And that's why what you do with Him determines what the judge will do with you. Praise God for His grace. That not only does God have the word, but that God was willing to send the word all the way down here, and that the word was made flesh so that we as flesh, that we could be partakers of the word. Hallelujah. He was made flesh and dwelt among us, sent all the way down from heaven. Amen and amen.